I want to take a few minutes tonight and share something I find very, very encouraging in Scripture. And it has to do with Paul. I find that Paul, whether he was on the one-man wrecking crew for the church, against the church, and then after converted, being on the other side of the fence, there's one thing you have to say about Paul. He was in it wholeheartedly, both ways. And what I wanted to, what I thought about, the word that came to mind was purpose. God created all humanity with a purpose. And since the fall, we have become kind of chaotic in our thinking. And sometimes we choose the wrong type of purposes for our lives. I believe Paul demonstrates the kind of purpose that we as believers need to demonstrate. And I kind of received this when I was reading when he was in prison. And it was when he was writing the book of Philippians. And it Paul had maybe laid low and maybe taken a little bit of a sabbatical, he might have went to trial and might have got off. But that wasn't Paul's style. And the reason that it wasn't was because Paul was filled with purpose. And that purpose was everything to him. And I thought, you know, what does purpose bring to our lives? And so I want to look in Philippians chapter 1. And I'm going to read verses 12 to 18. And from that, I kind of gleaned some things that I think we can learn. Things that we can demonstrate in our life once we determine what our purpose is. And I believe as a believer, we should know what our purpose is. And that's to serve God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind. Everything about us. That's what Paul did. To the expense of everything else around him, his own personal luxury, his own personal success, the gratitudes of the crowds, you know. Oh, there were those that did appreciate him and love him as a brother in Christ, but most wanted to kill him, okay? And so in today's society, I think we're getting really close to that because Christians as a whole are not loved people. I was looking at some comments. If you take a position different than what somebody else holds, how quickly they love to attack you. And if they believe, or if you mention the word God or they mention the word Christian, everything that you're discussing moves from that to your faith. It's about being a Christian. That's why you're so dumb. That's why you don't have it all together. It's just amazing how the world does that. And it's going to get increasingly worse. Okay, and that's why I believe we need to examine Paul's purpose and adopt that purpose for ourselves, regardless of what's coming down the road. And so follow along as I read this, if you would, please. He says, "But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel." Okay, let's stop there for just a moment. If we were to evaluate just from that first verse what Paul's purpose was, we can say his mind was purposed on the gospel message of Jesus Christ. That was his sole purpose in life. He wasn't elaborating on the things that had happened to him, on the things that he suffered, not even in being in prison. But what he was touching on here was the excitement of furthering the gospel message of Jesus Christ. We're going to take hits just like he did for doing that very same thing. But we got to have a purpose in mind. It's more than just having a job. It's more than just being retired. It's more than just going to the store daily. It's more than just tinkering around and playing with the things that we like to play with. There's more purpose in life than that's just those things. So I want us to take a look at, as we examine his purpose, Can we adopt that as our purpose as well? It's going to depend on whether we really believe we can take what's out there when it comes our way, whether we can adopt that purpose or not. But he was excited, the furtherance of the gospel. He says, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. I love that. Everybody knows why I'm here, and it's because of Jesus. Amen? We can say, you know what? I'm in church here tonight because of Jesus, and I am. I'm out there in the store, and I'm out there talking to people about Jesus. I'm out there sharing the gospel, and you know what? It's all because of Christ. That's what purpose is. Don't ever misunderstand. My purpose is not to pastor, okay? My purpose is to elevate the name of Jesus Christ, His ministry, and help lead us into the community to serve God's purpose. That's why I'm here. It's not about preaching. It's not about pastoring. It's about leading into the community. That's exactly what Paul did, and that's what he was doing. He says in verse 14, he said, most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. You know what? When people see you have a purpose and they see you're not afraid, that is contagious. And that's exactly what Paul... Those in the Lord were seeing what was happening to him. He was excited. He wasn't afraid. He was still preaching to the people, to the guards, to anybody that he could get the word to. And it was causing them to do the same thing without fear. I know what it is to be afraid. Afraid that someone's going to make fun of you. Or afraid that someone's going to maybe even attack you because of it. Well, you know, Paul was attacked. So if we're attacked, then we've got good company. You know? And he was attacked for the gospel. He was attacked for a real solid purpose. And if I'm going to get attacked, let it be for something worthwhile. Not for something that I did that didn't amount to anything. My purpose. I want my purpose to be as Paul's purpose. I want to set that kind of an example to my family, to my grandchildren, to my church family, to everybody that I... And you know, I know, don't expect to be a perfect example because I'm not perfect. But a desiring person that wants to serve God just as Paul did with all of his heart, soul, and his mind. That's a purpose worth serving, isn't it? Well, you know, he goes on further to say here, some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some from goodwill. Can you imagine that? Envy and strife. Now he goes on a little bit later here. They did this hoping to add afflictions to Paul's misery. Paul didn't take it as that. Look what he says. He says, the former preached Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains. But the latter out of love, knowing that I'm appointed for the defense of the gospel. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and in this I rejoice. Yes, and will rejoice. Basically, what Paul's saying, he says, he doesn't care how the word's getting out. Even those that are doing with selfish ambitions, with envy, they were still preaching the truth, but it was because they were envious of Paul. You know, and yeah, I mean, because he had those that truly loved him. And not everybody has that. And so in jealousy and envy and strife, they were preaching the gospel. Paul didn't care. Hey, however the word gets out, it gets out. And as long as it's truth, who cares? God never lets his word return void, ever. No matter how it's given, it doesn't return void. So as I thought about that passage, there's several things that I believe purpose can do in our lives. First of all, when we have a purpose will motivate us. It'll motivate us. You see, if we don't have any purpose, we just wander from pillar to post. And I feel and believe in my heart that's why there's so much chaos. You know, even evil people that are committed to their purpose, they're highly committed to it and they're motivated in it. But too much of the world has no real motivation for anything. They get up, they go to work, they do their thing, they come home, they watch TV, they go to bed, and they get up and they start all over again. That is a pretty mundane lifestyle. If we have a purpose, we're going to be highly motivated to serve that purpose. So let's establish our purpose, first of all. Our purpose is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's our purpose. So if that's our purpose, then what we should be is motivated in getting that word out into every crack and cranny and crevice that we can find it in. And in every opportunity that we can find. Paul did. I mean, you know, if he overheard somebody just talking and he saw an opportunity to share the gospel with them, he did. Sometimes fear, waiting for the absolute moment we think that it's right, whatever the case may be, keeps us from fulfilling that purpose in our life. And my friend, I'm here to tell you, everything outside of that purpose as a Christian is just something added to us that we can use in sharing the gospel. That's how I feel. And that includes our jobs. And I don't care whether the job that I had, it never mattered to me. Whatever job I had, I shared the gospel in every time that door opened. And the company could tell me not to if they wanted to. But I took opportunity. I did then, and I will still now. Paul was such an example to me for that. Purpose. Purpose will motivate us. And once we get motivated, man, look out, because walls of Jericho can fall. Amen? Purpose. The second thing I thought about purpose is the fact that purpose will help us keep our priorities straight. When we have a purpose, because remember, that purpose is the overall goal to which we are living our life. So when we think about that purpose, what is one of the first things within our purpose that we can prioritize? Living and loving as God's people. I think maybe coming to church with family and fellowshipping together is a priority. You can just make a list. And in that list, you know what? You're going to find the priorities to be underlined under our purpose, if that purpose is the gospel. I know some Christians that the gospel isn't their purpose. Their work is their purpose. And when the work is their purpose, that's their priority. I've seen Christians that have made money their purpose. And when money is their purpose, then making money is not only their motivation, but it's their priority. You know, I was so thankful because I remember somebody in my family one time said, I am going to make $1 million by the time I'm 30. And it's sure not that this person didn't try, but guess what? It's a believer. And as we grow older and as we get more committed to the Lord Jesus, the less and less that $1 million became important. You see, we set our priorities differently. Now, not to say that taking care of my family in work and home life and all those things weren't important, because they were. They were very important. And they were in the priority list. But the gospel and serving Jesus Christ had to be number one. And in doing so, God never made me abandon my job or abandon my family. If I did that, I did that on my own, because I didn't prioritize things properly. So to me, purpose helps us prioritize our lives and the directions that we're going. So I see purpose as being a motivator. I see purpose as being a way to prioritize things. I also see purpose being a way that we can develop our potential. If our purpose is the gospel, then this purpose should help us develop ourselves into being better witnesses and doing what it takes to be a better witness. Some of us may need to go to a faith training class. There's nothing wrong with that. But don't take it just to say you've been. take it because you want to use it. I've taken a lot of witnessing classes, and I don't follow any specific pattern. I did it to learn what I wanted to learn, and then I let the Holy Spirit do the rest. I've never been able to follow a memorized way of leading people to Jesus, because guess what? I realized Jesus didn't make all people the same. You got all kinds of people out there, and if you let the Holy Spirit do it, you're going to have more success. So in that purpose, we need to let it develop our potential and not be afraid of it. You know what? So many times we hold back from our developed potential because we're afraid of where God might lead us to go to. And we don't want to go there. Somebody that may be more well off, even to the wealthy stage, they may take them someplace into the ghetto. This is where God wants them to go. Why? Maybe because he wants to experience what the real hardness of life is. And maybe they just might have something to offer in that ghetto. But the thing is, if we're not open-hearted, we'll never get the point. We got to be prepared to receive whatever it is. Don't let our potential be developed by our own thinking and our own desires. And that's what happens many times. We only become developed in a way that we want to be developed that is going to serve our purpose. So let it motivate us. Let that purpose motivate us. Let that purpose help us set our proper priorities. Let that purpose help develop our potential. I look out in this small crowd and I can't tell you the potential that I see. What God has done in bringing all of this group together. You can say, well, there's not many of us. Well, you know what? Paul stood alone most of the time. But he did not let that stop him with what God had opened the door for him to do. Whether anybody stood with him or not, didn't matter. Maybe we need to think like that more. I would pray that our brothers and sisters would stand with us, but you can't always count on it because their purpose and their priorities may be different. Paul had those very same things. He dealt with that on a daily basis. His brothers and sisters didn't always demonstrate the advanced purpose that he believed we as Christians should have in our life. And so they dropped by the wayside. Jesus saw that when people came to him. They came to him to be healed. They came to him to be fed. They came to him to just be mollycoddled even. And Jesus did all of those things. But he also got down to the brass tacks of the gospel about what life is all about. And you know, when he started doing that and explaining to them what it was all about, little by little, they left. Little by little, the crowds diminished. At the beginning of his ministry, it was gangbusters. Near the end of his ministry, not so much. And it was because people didn't want to follow what they believed to be fanaticism. You and I, if we claim to be Christians, we claim to believe in the gospel, and we're willing to share that in any place and anywhere we want to, be prepared to be called a fanatic. I've had brothers and sisters after a sermon like I'm preaching to you tonight say, you know, that's going a little too far. You need to calm it down a little bit. You tell me to calm it down and I'm going to get more hostile. Not angry hostile, but I'm going to get more on the edge because you know what? You're missing the point. And the point is we got to get up. We got to get up and get moving. So let's become developed. Amen? One of those ways is read and know God's word. That's the number one way. Number two way is come to church. Come to fellowship. Come to Bible study. Come anytime that you can to hear God's word. Because I pray when I come into this pulpit, when I teach a lesson on Wednesday evenings, that's my desire. It's not going to be empty air. It's not going to be a fluff piece, okay? It's going to be something that is going to generate an interest and an anxiousness to serve God in your heart. If it doesn't do that, then I need to quit now. I like the gift that God gave me, and I know one of the gifts He gave me is to be an exhorter. And I love exhortation because it's a cold, stirring situation that I get put in. And I love doing that. But please believe me, I do it out of love. I don't do it out of anger. I don't do it out of hate. I don't do it out of any reason, but because I love God so much. And that's what He's given me. I'm not going to be afraid to use it. You've all got something there. You've all got gifts. You've all got them. The question is, how are we going to prioritize them and use them? So, develop ourselves. The next thing, I believe that a purpose will help us develop the power to live in the present. It'll help through all those other things. A purpose will give us the ability to live in the power of the Spirit in the present. The present is pretty tough to live in as a believer. Those of you that have talked to others, and I mean highly volatile people that are against anybody that says God or says they believe in God, get with the real world. Think like everybody else. That's what they'll tell you. Well, sorry, you can write that as an epitaph on my stone if you want to, but I know what I really stand for and how I really live. And you know what? The Spirit takes, if that's our purpose, He can work the power within that purpose to do the things that He wants us to do, to live the way that He wants us to live, and to act the way that we should act, to live in the present. Because I'll tell you what, we need to prepare for the future because it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. It's not going to get better. It's like my cousin said, who came and visited our Sunday school, he says it's evident to him that we are really headed backwards. There used to be a time of unity in this country. There used to be a time of unity in households. That's all but almost disappeared now. There is no unity. It's all about the individualistic. It's all about the specialist groups. It's all about what group you can fit into. Me, on any application, I fit in the other. How about you? Yeah, we all fit in the other. I wish they'd put down Christian is what I wish they'd put down because I'd love to mark that one. You know what? Next time I'm going to cross out other and put Christian. That's what I'm going to do. You know, I'm not ashamed of that fact. You know, they may not like it, but then who are they? I know who I am. I don't know who they are. So you see what I'm saying? You know, it'll give you power to live the way that we should live and not be afraid of the system. Not be afraid of the government. Not be afraid of what we think they can do to us. What? Confiscate our lands? Well, it's like I shared Wednesday night. If the city wants this property bad enough and we don't want to sell it, they'll find a way to take it. You know that and I know that. They will. So, you know what? But I'm not afraid of that. Because I'll make a deal with Family Dollar and we'll have church in a tent right across from this building. Don't bother me. Of course, we need fans, especially in the summertime, okay? But you understand what I'm saying? They don't scare me. They don't scare me. And I don't want them to scare you either. Because my God is much bigger than their government. So let's trust in the one who is sovereign. I have to laugh at people because they don't understand. And it's not about being who you support. Now, I don't care who you supported, if you're a supporting Democrat, if you're a supporting Republican, or if you're supporting nothing. It doesn't matter to me. But the thing is, the Bible is clear. Only those whom God puts in office get there. Whether you and I like it or not, we can do our voting thing if that's what we want to do. Go right ahead. I'm beginning to think I've got many more things, important things to do than that, and to worry about it, and to fret about it, and to fight about it, and to sweat over it. This country, my friend, this country is doomed. I said it. And I'm usually the eternal optimist. But we're headed down a road that once we're getting close to the point of no return. So what? What is that going to do to us? Nothing, except make it harder for us to live, maybe make it harder for us to act or to work, or churches will start disappearing. Real Christian churches will start disappearing. The cult churches will stay. The governmental supported churches will stay, just like in Russia and just like the sanctioned one in China. They'll stay, but nothing that tells the gospel like Paul told the gospel. We need to tell the gospel. And we need to not be afraid, and we need to have purpose so that we can live in the power that is given to us, each and every one of us as God's people. We've got that. The final thing that I think is important is that purpose will help us to evaluate our progress. Purpose will help us to see how far we've come, how far we still need to go, and maybe even what we need to do to get there. The thing is, my friend, we get sidetracked. We backtrack. We want to ride the proverbial lukewarm fence. That's what the church does today. It wants to be bigger, wants bigger edifices, bigger steeples, more income. It wants all of these things. So they're willing to sacrifice what I believe truth to do so. They do it in the way that they present music. I shared with you one time, I was watching on YouTube a service, and this service, their special music was AC/DC. Yeah. Oh, that was real inspiring. For about the first 5 seconds after I remember what the song was. How in the world does that help anybody? Oh, we're getting the young people in. What are you getting them in for? To still help them pave that road to send them straight to hell? Because that's all you're doing. If we're not making the right impact and the proper impact, then we need to shut the doors and go our merry ways. That's what Paul would tell us. And I believe that with all my heart. Potential. We have progress in our life. You know what's sad to me as a pastor and as a leader in the church? What's sad is when I see believers that have been Christian for 30, 35, and 40 years that are still on the bottle. There's been no progress in their life. They don't even know John 3:16. But they're a believer. But they grasp at every straw that they hear out there. I know a lady that's at the church that I came from in New Mexico. She adopted 7 different religions into her repertoire of belief. She was one of the most messed up ladies I've ever... And I spent 20 and a half years working with her. Didn't do a bit of good. She was committed and dedicated to her way of thinking, and that's all that it is. But we've got all kinds of people like that out there, not just her. We never stop, we never give up, and we keep forging ahead. God's in control. God is our strength. He is our witness. And my friend, I want to encourage you. Through the act of Paul. Even if we make somebody angry at us because we witness of that name, be happy. Because guess what? The name of Jesus has been said. The name of the gospel has been said. That's all we need to rejoice about. Rejoice in the truth of the message of Jesus Christ. Let's take that to the bank, as they say.